This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport, powered by fans.
Back of the Nest preview show, sponsored by Pitch Sport. Available to download on the App Store and Google Play. PitchDMM.com.
Welcome one and all to the Back of the Nest preview podcast. And for the last time this season, well, it's just me and Hesketh as we look ahead towards our final game of the season at Anfield. A little look back at Arsenal from midweek. And we'll probably look back on a bit of Roy's career. And of course, chat about the dreaded Eberechi Eze injury. Let's get into it.
Alexa, play Back of the Nest podcast.
Playing Back of the Nest, CPFC podcast, from Amazon Music.
Back of the Nest, now on your Alexa device and Amazon Music.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Yes, getting straight into this week, Hesketh. Straight in. It's beer off the bat. Got a really... dry kind of thing in the throat. It's just an IPA this week. We just reflect from a place called Drop Project. 6.8% should do the business.
6.8%. Hopefully by the end of this episode, we'll be rolling around the floor. I'm not on a 6.8%. I am on a 4.7% Red Stripe Lager out of the My Fridge Brewery. Very nice.
Up the six for a fiver. Love it. So, where are we? We've been back in the stadium. We've been to watch the mighty red and blue play, albeit not bad. I'm not going to say badly. The result was bad. Obviously, I don't think the second half performance was bad. But how was it being back for you?
It was good. Like you say, the result wasn't really what we wanted. But I tweeted pretty soon after full time that I found it very cathartic to be back. Shouting C-bombs at opposition players, which I did on many, many occasions in the space of about a minute when Kieran Tierney was rolling around just in front of me holding his face because Joel Ward had sort of blown on the back of his ear or something. it was, like you say, the result wasn't great, but just being back in the stadium was fun, really fun.
I got in trouble in the box for my language. I had a lady steward come over and ask me to moderate my language. Someone had gone through the back of Wilfried Zaha, and I jumped up and said, "What the fuck was that?"
That's all right. That's not nearly as bad as I thought you were going to say.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad at all. That's what I was just like. I was like, "Are we in a football stadium?" So then I think there was six of us there, and I think five of us all got in trouble for our language.
I did get a message from a friend of the show, Nick, who was with you, not Nick Gillard, Nick Houghton, who before the game sent me a photo of your luscious locks, which was absolutely amazing. I think if you were to watch, I would describe it as if you were to watch a Scandi detective series where they go to see like a university professor to get the lowdown on this weird bit of research they need. Terence was that guy. And in fact, when he then texted me after the game to say that you got told off for swearing, Vanessa, my wife, said Terry should have got told off for that haircut. So I think there's, it's just as well it's end of season. I think a bit of beef is going on there between you and her.
Well, it's just I never leave the house at the moment unless, and when I do, I've got a hat on because it's quite cold out. So I've usually got it all covered in a beanie. So then when it comes to getting ready to go to this box, I was like, I do not know what to do with my hair. I have no idea what to do with it. And in the early pictures from the evening, it was rough. It got a bit, I sort of figured it out halfway through the first half maybe. But yeah, it was quite the experience. The Legends restaurant. So for those that don't know, they've knocked out on the lower set of boxes in the White Horse. They've near the away fans, they've knocked out, I'd say, probably five boxes, maybe four boxes, and made it into what they call a Legends restaurant. And so we turn up, sit down at a table, we glance over to the table literally straight next to us, and see a little name tag for Darren Ambrose. So lives up to his name, bona fide Crystal Palace legend, sat right next to us. It's going to be pretty good. Off to a good start. Beers come out, get a couple of beers, all going nicely there. Come and take our food order. The chicken parfait is what I'll go for.
Very nice. Well pronounced as well.
That was all mentioned, the podcast from last week, by various people at the table. But I had the chicken parfait, lovely. And that's it. Gets to 5 minutes before kickoff. No mains have come. Head over to one of, there was like a bar area. Head over to the bar where all the waiters are and waitresses. Han, it's a bit late now, guys, but just wanted to let you know we haven't had our mains. Yeah, we know. Yeah, we know.
Brilliant.
Was the response. It's like, what was anyone going to come and tell us? Oh, well, we've had a problem with one of the kitchens not being able to open, blah, blah, blah. All these excuses, like what? And I'm just like standing there, my jaw on my chest, like, people have come here from work, like, and haven't had dinner. Like, yeah, you could have told us, or like, if the kitchen's closed, like, you find a way to make it work when you're playing. Like, you know, if we weren't season ticket holders, this has been 360 notes for a ticket, you know, it's ridiculous. So we go out to the game. Watching the game from the balcony, then about halfway through half time, the mains turn up.
Bloody hell. At least you've worked up a hunger by that point.
Which left a lot to be desired. The chicken was extremely dry. It was awful. So that was that. Potatoes were terrible.
Chicken was not parfait.
Yeah. No, the chicken parfait was all right. And then it was supposed to be cheese and stuff at half time. That ends up arriving about 5 minutes into the second half. Halfway through the second half, our desserts turn up, which was supposed to be served before the game started.
Oh god.
And some of the desserts are rice puddings, which we're out watching the game. They're just sat on the table now for like 25 minutes by the time we get in there.
Skin on rice pudding by then.
And so it's just bone cold. And one of our friends, Grant, who was with us, his missus was also with her because it was Grant's 40th birthday. Happy birthday, Grant. His missus takes the bowl of rice pudding over to Darren Ambrose and says, Darren, stick your finger in my rice pudding. To which he's just like, no thanks. She's like, but it's freezing cold. And now you've got to bear this time. Darren Ambrose also hasn't had his food. So it's not just like, it's not just us. Darren Ambrose is still there starving, hasn't had any food.
It's the legends as well not getting their food.
And so Grant is now like, you know, before I think Darren Ambrose, I'd think, you know, the screamer at Old Trafford, the goal at Hillsborough. Now I'm just thinking about my missus asking him to stick his fingers in her rice pudding. So yeah, so outside of not basically not getting any food of any decent standard outside of the chicken parfait, being told to moderate my language, other than that, yeah, it was a great time. It's good to see the lads who I was with, but to be fair to them, we didn't even get out the building before they came out. Like, the guy who's running the whole thing came over and apologized said we'll be in contact tomorrow with some options for you, and they've offered us either a full refund or what they said. They said we're happy to give you a full refund, but what we prefer is to you to give us another chance next season at a game free of charge, which is, I guess that's the perfect way to deal with that sort of thing. So,
yeah, that's great. That's great. Yeah. I suppose that they could have just been like, sorry, it's one of those things. Did you get your pie at full time?
The pie, yeah, but there was no meat pies. They were cheese and onion pies, and the biggest bowl of mash like ever. Like Nick was like, was that the mash for the whole room? I was like, no, that was like one portion of mash. So it was a mixing. I like to say, if they, a bit of communication to just tell us, look, we're having a mare out here, is that food's going to be staggered all over the place. We've understood, but there was no, you know, no comments on it whatsoever. It was just all a bit, you know, just shocking. But yeah, I say they've made it right. We're going to go back next season. We'll give them the opportunity to redeem themselves. And because it would be like to do, if it was a good experience, I'd probably do it once a season, you know, like go with a family or something and just have a nice little treat once a year to do it. But especially like a game, but you've got to do it for a game that don't mean anything. We're talking about going back for maybe like a League Cup game next season or something.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah, just no one's where it's not like, it's not that important in the early rounds because, yeah, I couldn't be up there for Brighton. I'd be thrown out within the first 10 minutes if I'm...
If you're getting paid off... Get turned off for an Arsenal game.
Well, especially considering like these boxes are right next to the away fans.
Yeah, that's true.
It would be. I'm not sure I'd even make the kickoff.
Did you read or see even the Arsenal fans in the White Horse? I think they were saying that there were some Arsenal fans in one of the boxes as well.
Yeah, so we could. So we knew something was going on because I hadn't seen them celebrating, but it became very clear very quickly that that's what had happened. And then you could see a bit of a kerfuffle going on and people like dragging them out and, you know, but before in the past in the Holmesdale, when I've had away fans in there, I've had mixed responses from stewards. Most of the time, the general response from them has been, oh, they have every right to be here, which I just think is utter nonsense. And I was going to ask you about that. I mean, I don't want to condone violence, but I feel like they should have got a rough throwing out at the very least.
I mean, I've come across the same. We had a cup game against Liverpool a few years ago, and there was a Liverpool fan who was wearing a shirt. He was crowing after they beat us. He was sort of puffing his chest out and walking around, and I had a bit of an argument with him. Vanessa came running in, taking her big gold hoops off, which if you know... my wife, if you see the big hoops coming out of the ears, run away. And I spoke to Stuart about it then. I was like, well, you know, what's he doing in here? And he was just like, oh, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. And I'm just sort of thinking, especially, you know, in this instance at the Arsenal game, I know, you know, there are Palace fans who probably wanted to go and weren't able to get a ticket. I don't know. I think there were some left over, but don't like the idea of there being Arsenal fans in the ground when the Palace fans aren't, if you know what I mean. So on top of everything, that would piss me off.
But yeah, I've seen a video from one of the boxes as well, which was basically down towards the middle. As I say, we were all the way to the far end, the very last boxes on the far end. And that was more in the middle. But I had no idea there was someone in one of the boxes who was there. But it's, giving it, the video is him giving it large from the box. It was very, how brave. But yeah, and I mean we'll get into the Arsenal game a bit more later, and it's just, you know, yeah, scoring the last minute winner's great and all that, but I feel like I'll care less about it if it was a stadium full of people and there was away fans in it versus this is not your evening. This is not your evening. Do you know what I mean? This is Crystal Palace and Roy Hodgson's evening, and you're trying to, like, as you always like to say, piss on Fritz, you know.
Yeah, piss on the Fritz.
Yeah. But yeah, we'll get into the game a little bit further down. But obviously, between this pod and the last pod, what happened, what we said should happen, has happened in terms of Roy making sure his future was known before the Arsenal game, and he's obviously all but announced his retirement from football. I know he says he doesn't want to do that, but I think in his speech on the pitch after the game, it was very, he said he's going to miss football, and I don't, you know, unless West Brom throw a load of money in, which could happen, I guess, for, and he might end up there, but, you know, it sounds like he wants to retire. It sounds like he's, you know, he's had enough now, finally at last. So initial thoughts, you know, I found it weird. I was finding myself getting emotional, but feeling a bit hypocritical because I've been so outspoken against him for the last year.
Yeah, I mean, when I watched his, I don't really watch press conferences that often. I used to when I first started doing the pod, so we do a bit of research, but we've obviously sacked all that off in the last couple of years.
To be fair to us, it's normally because we're recording before the press conference now.
That's true. That is very true. So I watched his press conference where basically all the questions were about the decision and his career and that. And it was quite sad because he has had obviously a really storied career. He's been really successful. And his speech after the game was really nice as well. And it was good to see a guard of honour before the game, which I hadn't even thought about, to be honest. But he seemed to be quite touched by that. And it is weird because, like you say, we've sort of been calling for a change all year, really. I think you and I are pretty similar. But at the same time, you know, we have said, I had no dislike towards Hodgson. I know some people really took a dislike to him over the course of this year, but I find it hard to dislike someone. He has kept us up. The first couple of years are really good. And he's given us some really good moments. Even when we were shit this year, we still beat Brighton 2-1, which is funny. I could never find myself disliking him because he just seems like a really nice, you know, bloke. And all of the players coming out afterwards, like Tyrick Mitchell saying what a big impact he's had, Will, Van Dross, Cahill, you know, he's obviously...
He was referring to him as a father, wasn't he?
Yeah. And then you see, you know, all the managers interviewed. Obviously, no one's going to be horrible about him, but, you know, Mourinho, who put a thing up on his Instagram about him, and Arteta saying what a legend he is and that sort of thing. You know, it was a really nice send-off. And whilst I do want to change, and I do think that it's the right time, and I think it suits all parties, it was quite sad seeing him go because he is a Croydon boy. And, you know, he came in when we were at a really, really low ebb and turned it around really well. So, a shame the result didn't go the way we wanted. But to be fair, I think at the end of the game, it was quite a positive atmosphere, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's a shame that he's approached the last season and this season that's just finishing in the way he has. Because look at the second half against Villa and the second half against Arsenal. If we'd have played that more regularly throughout the season, we probably wouldn't be in this. We would never have been in that state with Roy as we all ended up where so many of us were like, it's definitely time for it to be over now. And of course, if we played more like we did against Villa, people might even be talking about him staying, trying to convince him to stay for another year, you know, like play some amazing stuff in those last two games. And it was, it's funny, isn't it? Like we beat Villa 3-2 with a nice come behind victory. Roy announces that he's on his way out. He's calling it a day. Everyone, we've got this just completely feel good feeling around the club. And then what happens Wednesday morning?
when the news about Eze came out, actually the first thing I saw was a tweet from someone saying, I didn't even get 24 hours of positivity or something. And I was like, that's a weird thing to say. Oh, I wonder what's happened. And then you start reading like the odd bits and pieces. And then obviously you read that Eze is out with an Achilles injury, which is like 6 to 8 months. I'm sure every fan of every club says this, but it really is typical Palace where it's like, oh, we've had more downs and ups of late, but now it's turning around. Like you say, feel good atmosphere, great second half against Villa. But here you go, we're going to shoot you down. Eze had the last few games have all been absolutely brilliant, I thought as well. So it's like, even for him on a personal note, he's really getting to grips with the Premier League. He's at the point where he can do a bit of defence, and we're giving him more sort of creative freedom. And then he's out for 8 months.
Yeah, and what I found interesting about this injury as well, there's a lot of people were talking about how gutted they were for him personally as well, aside from just being gutted for the team, from what it will mean on the pitch and so on. Because he has, like, he's just completely won everyone over. Like, he's such, it seems like such a genuine guy, really happy guy. And, yes, yeah, you just got to feel so gutted for him. And so hopefully it's, it seems to be mixed things on whether it's a ruptured Achilles or not. And, but if it is a ruptured Achilles, as we all fear it is, it's a terrible injury for any footballer to get. It can take years to actually get back to normal. He does have relative youth on his side in that sense. So hopefully he'll heal up with it better than maybe if he was 5 years older or something. But, you know, Benteke, it took him a long time to, arguably 4 years now to get back from an Achilles injury. And it was Achilles injury, it was got a Villa, but then it was like the subsequent injuries as a result on top of that as well, which can come from an Achilles because it's such an important part of your body if you're a sports person that it can really affect that whole entire side of your body. So
yeah, that's it. And I think that's Hodgson mentioned it in his press conference, that the mental side of it is going to be really big as well. And he said that he thinks Eze's got a really good sort of spirit about him and mental attitude, that he's going to be okay. But I think, like, to go back briefly to what you just said about winning everyone over, I think that, like, completely includes the rest of the squad as well. You know, Benteke scores against Arsenal and his celebration is holding up a 2 and a 5. Andros was wearing Eze's shirt when they took the photo at the end of the lap of honour for Roy. You know, and you see all of the players on social media talking about, like, you got this, we're here with you. And for him to win everyone over in such a short space of time, obviously not only by what he can do on the pitch, but, like, what a nice bloke he is. Like, all the interviews, well, we've mentioned this season as well, all the interviews you see of him, he's, like, happy, loving it, you know, and he just seems like a really positive guy. And I think that will probably stand him in good stead for recovery as well, hopefully.
Yeah, it didn't stop one of my mates in the box with me saying when Townsend come out with the Eze shirt on, with Eze on the front, he had it back to front. He's only done his Achilles, he's not died, mate. But yeah, obviously everyone is absolutely good. I mean, I was so deflated when I heard the news. It was just felt like, you know, it feels like any new manager that comes in is going to be thinking about, you know, the remit's going to be build your team around Eze.
Yeah.
And what does it do now? So we'd go into next season thinking we need 2 centre-backs and probably 2 central midfielders. But now Eze's out, what does it do to our summer transfer plans? Does it throw them up in the air? Do we need to add another attacker if we on top of what we already have now? Or is it going to be try and dip into the loan market for that? What do you reckon the path is?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be very, very difficult because, I mean, you're also factoring in some of these out-of-contract players, and I'm sure some contract negotiations have already happened, but still there's a lot up in the air. So I don't know how well we can bank on some of them staying if we want them to. You know, does Benteke stay? You know, we stood by him when he was not scoring. Hopefully he'll stay in Bursa when he is, but there's no, you know, he doesn't have to. So like you say, adding all that together and then saying, well, do we now go out and replace Eze, which is tough and not cheap, or do we sort of say, well, hopefully he'll be back by Christmas and won't show any ill effects and he's the player that he has been this year. You know, all of this is going on. We don't even have a manager lined up to replace Roy yet. So it's going to be difficult. I think every decision we make over the next month or two is going to be huge for the club. I don't think we should undersell it, because the amount of upheaval that's going on anyway has now been compounded by arguably our most creative player this season being out for half a season next year. So it's tough. I don't know what we do. I think a lot of it depends on the new manager. I don't suppose we have a huge amount of money. We've got some, but like I say, replacing Eze is difficult because he is a very, very good player. And I think we got a very good deal on him as it was. So trying to replace him, I don't know if we'll be able to do it.
Yeah, I mean, and as I say, I think we still need to concentrate on the other positions that we need. Like, we need centre-backs, although after going to the under-23s game on Monday, get into that a little bit. J-Rich Bagaloo, get him near the first team. I mean, he has everything for the modern-day centre-back. He looks like he's some prospect here. So maybe that's an option there. But we've got to freshen up centre back position. We just have to. We're so old there, and it started to tell this season towards the back end. So, well, look at it now. Well, we're up to 65 goals conceded. I think if Liverpool stuff us up again on the weekend, it could really challenge. I think 97, 98. I think we conceded 71 odd goals, something like that. I think it's 65 we're up to this season. And it's so many goals. And it's not down to our goalkeeper. It's not like we have a dodgy goalkeeper. We have a very, very sound goalkeeper in between the sticks, you know? So,
and I think a lot of it made of the average age of the squad. But I mean, I'm sure, I don't know the stats offhand, but I'm sure we must be near the top for like late goals conceded.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, we are the worst in the division for the last 15 minutes and the first 15 minutes, yeah. I think.
And I mean, certainly the last 15, I don't think it's a coincidence that we've got an old squad, and over the course of a season, we let in a lot of goals near the end. Mm. And we don't really rotate. And this is another thing where we've talked about, why doesn't Martin Kelly get a game? Because he's, compared to the rest of the defence, he ain't old and he is good and he hasn't had a look in. You know, I thought it was good to see Tonks back on Wednesday. But I mean, there's talk of giving Dan another year, which I don't think I'd do. I think centre backs are a big priority, and the forward positions as well. I think, you know, Michy's obviously going back. Mateta, I assume, will stay with us next year. I hope he will.
Well, it's an 18-month loan, so he should be with us next year. Although, I mean, I was having some conversations with people in the box on Wednesday who I would suggest would know, and they're saying he's dropped off a cliff in training.
Really?
Does that surprise you, though?
Well, that's what we talked about last week, where Roy was like, oh, there are some players on the bench, blah, blah. And I'm like, if you know you're not going to get a game, or you're going to get 15 minutes here and there when you're losing, it's pretty tough to be motivated, I suppose, isn't it?
I mean, of course, you should still be professional, but
yeah.
I mean, you score an amazing backheel against the rivals, have a pretty solid game in that, and only to be hauled off and then not see the first team again for 7 or 8 games.
And that's no slight on, like, obviously, Benteke's been absolutely brilliant the last sort of last half of the season, I would say, and he's scoring loads of goals now. But it's more the sort of, when you're bringing these players on, at what position the team are in or what time of the game. And you know, I would like to have seen him come on against Arsenal. I like Ayew. I think Ayew's a good player. He's not obviously had as good a season this year as last, but he's playing a lot.
One goal tells you that, I think.
And I would like to have seen Mateta just run at him, just have a run, you know, because I think Arsenal's defence is pretty pony.
It just seemed illogical to bring Ayew on when they were struggling with Benteke in the air so much. Mm-hmm. So just bring on another tall guy up front Mateta's shown that he can win the ball in the air. So get him on there, and he's got that little bit more mobility about him as well. So he could really cause him a lot of problems, but we'll never know now.
That's it. And so, like, if you're looking at the forward lines, I mean, I really hope Benteke stays, because if Benteke does go elsewhere, then that's another massive problem that we have to fill, especially in the form that he's in now, where he just looks like he's going to score every game. And when you're a team like Palace, who don't create that much over the course of the season, we haven't anyway, you know, having someone who looks like they're going to score every game is, you know, pretty priceless. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think centre-halves and the forward positions are the real priorities, and maybe, like we've said many times, fabled box-to-box midfielder.
Yeah. Or maybe just the new manager will convince himself that MacArthur's still got the legs in him to do that.
Back of the Nest, sponsored by Pitch Sport. Funtime videos, choose your match day squad, post match ratings, and much more. Available to download on the App Store and Google Play. PitchDMM.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Right, last one. You always want a Frenchman to come to Palace. Now, talking of forward positions, we've been linked with... got to be careful how I say this. FC Nantes forward, Randall Kolo Muani. Now, you had a quick Google of him because you've never heard of him. Now, I did. Eight goals and four assists this season, maybe, for Nantes. But that wasn't what caught your eye.
Not to pick up on your pronunciation, but it does sound like you're saying Nantes.
That's why I was saying I've got to be careful how I say this. How do you say it?
Nantes.
Okay.
And when I continue with this story, that becomes even more apparent. So, I don't know him. So I thought I'll go on his Wikipedia, see what he's like. And under the personal life section, I'm going to read verbatim, and I think producer Sam will have her bleep button ready. It says, in February 2021, it was rumoured that Kolo Muani was the subject of a controversial video filmed by William Saliba in 2018. That showed a French youth international teammate touching himself. Kolo Muani has denied on social media he was even in the same dressing room as Saliba, as you would.
Yeah, I mean, when you sent that to me as well, what's that for added fun for me? I was reading that as Saliba. I mean, the whole straight out denial of ever being in a changing room with him, it's probably very easy to prove otherwise.
And I think the only positive you could get out of this is, which I put in the chat and I was very proud of, is saying that you could consider that the Muani shot. I mean, if that's the silver lining, you know, you're in trouble.
Well, it wasn't the worst thing you put in there with saying that perhaps Neil Shipley's our scout now.
I'm just going to drop friend of the pod Simon Phillips in it for that. That was Simon Phillips' suggestion.
nothing to do with either of us, indeed. Right, so the Arsenal game. So I can't even remember. They took the lead, didn't they? I can't remember all the Palace hours I drank in the box. I'm not this might be a bit of a struggle for me, but they got off to a bit of a fast start, and for the amount of booing he was getting, Tierney was actually getting quite a lot of joy down the left-hand side. And their opening goal was a pretty good goal, well-worked move.
And you could sort of see it coming, like you said. I mean, I was in block C for the game. So I was stood basically as he was running towards us, right, sort of in front of him. And
I'm sure you were giving him welcoming hand gestures. And
I was. Well, apparently Vanessa and me were on BT. And our friend sent a photo of it, and I was like, "I'm glad that wasn't about 10 minutes earlier, because it would have been a very different photo." But yeah, he got down past Ward pretty easily, and I guess no one was picking him up when he came in, which is annoying because I don't like either of those guys, so that pissed me off a little bit.
It's a good finish, though.
It was a good finish.
If you've listened to. It was Zaha on a podcast. I can't remember which one it was on, but he talked about how Pepe snores really loudly as well. So he doesn't deserve anything from life, as far as I'm concerned.
No, he doesn't. And I, yeah, fine. I'll add that to the list. I don't mind them. it had been coming. I think they'd started pretty well, and they put two or three really good crosses into the box, which Guaita had dealt with quite well, and one sort of zipped past everyone. So it was less of a shot when they scored. But then, you know, we had a couple of chances for Benteke headers that I thought he would have scored. But thankfully, half-time seemed to do us quite a lot of good, didn't it?
Well, it's kind of like similar to the vein to the Villa game where they kind of took the lead and thought that they'd done the job. They thought that was it, business finished, and took their foot off the gas a bit. And but half-time was excellent. I mean, one of, you know, Roy's penultimate half-time speak, a half-time talk, obviously did a good job of it. And it all culminated in Townsend free kick that he's beautifully celebrating before Benteke even heads it home.
I did see that.
And it's even, someone's filmed it from the crowd in the Arthur Waite. And he's not alone. Like, that's how much faith we've regained in Benteke, because there were lots of people celebrating already.
Nice.
Before the cross went in, or as the cross went in. So,
it was a great ball. I mean, obviously you'd want Benteke at the end of it, but yeah, perfect spot. So at that point, obviously I'm Mr. Miserable, but at that point I was just thinking, you know, we can have them, because I don't think they're very good. I think they're a very soft team. I think they've got a lot of work to do if they're ever going to be, you know, the force they used to be. All this, I mean, I'm sure we'll mention it anyway, but this talk of them being in the European Super League when they were talking about it, I mean, they're in trouble if they think they're a Super League club.
Yeah, well, I mean, as we say, there's been lots of, you've been having, you know, mini arguments with Arsenal fans, you know, they're all trying to, I've even had messages from Arsenal fans who I haven't spoke to for ages who are phoning me up, like texting me, trying to give me banter. And I'm like, why are you trying to banter a team that finishes lower mid-table like every season? you used to like go seasons unbeaten and win the Premier League. Like, what has happened to your club?
You don't need to be ratioing like a team that's happy to finish 11th, mate. So,
indeed. But I guess the game really hinged at the end on... it was an end-to-end moment where Zaha got released over the top, and I think I assume it was Gabriel who was tracking him back. Is that who they've got at the back? Yeah. And it was one of those moments where you just thought, this is you, Wilf. You've got him one-on-one. You can have a go at him, beat him, get a shot off, and maybe we can score a winner here. But as so often recently, not really looked himself.
I agree. Like, he sort of wanted to take an extra touch or an extra two touches, and by the time he'd done that, the guy had got back. And you just sort of think of Wilf as, maybe not this season, but which is hard to say because he scored 11 goals. But in the past, he loved racing past people. He'd do a little trick, he'd get past them, and he'd pop a shot off. And I think if he'd done that, we would have gone 2-1 up, and that would have been it. So yeah, it was a bit of a shame. But as you say, they sort of went right up the other end, and I don't even really know what happened for their second goal, because it sort of, I don't know, from where we were, there was a lot of players in front of the ball.
Yeah. Well, Odegaard just dinked in a lovely little ball right in that corridor of uncertainty, as they call it, and that was it. The defender missed it. It's bounced up off Martinelli, sort of looped over Guaita. There's nothing he can do about it, and it just sort of flimsily drops into the bottom left-hand corner, and then that was it, basically. Everyone fell to the ground. You could see the players were gutted, and I assume it was just as much gutted for not being able to see it out for Roy in that sense. But at that point the game was over, and you just felt if they attacked again they were going to score again, because our players were just, you know, visibly gutted about what had happened. But it's a shame, because I also thought there was, because when they said VAR was looking at it, obviously looking at a potential penalty on Zaha, You're just kind of like, this is, in terms of, you know, we've all been outspoken about how we're not fans of VAR on this podcast, but that's the ultimate they score a goal and it gets pulled back for a Palace penalty at the other end. That's that's the ultimate VAR, isn't it? And I mean, it's happened a few times already over the recent years when there's been VAR decisions that have done that, and that is the absolute ultimate. Where goal overturned, plus you've got a chance to get the winner. But alas, no, it was. It just wasn't a penalty, was it? Just a good. He just defended really, really well, and and then Pepe scores another one with a few minutes to go, and that was that. But didn't put dampeners on the evening. Nice, presentation for Ray Lewington and Roy Hodgson at the end of the game. It's easy to forget that Lewington's going as well, and this is obviously second spell to come back. I mean, he might have even had multiple spells back in the day because there was so much comings and goings, particularly with Coppell at that time. So who knows? But yeah, it was I've been a fantastic servant to the club down the years. And yeah, I didn't feel like it really reached the emotional heights that I thought it made, to be honest. I feel like, I don't know, maybe it was a bit of a dampener on the result at the end or something, but it was...
To be honest, I was just happy to be back there, you know. Yeah. I mean, I thought the atmosphere was all right when it got going. Obviously, it's tough when people are not sitting or standing where they normally do, so everyone's dotting about. So we had people in the middle of the Holmesdale singing one song, but then the Arthur were singing another one, and we were sort of in the middle. But I just... You know, we've talked about this a lot on the pod, but I just really miss going to football. You know, it's a big part of all of our lives. And to be able to go there and see Palace play for only the second time this season in person, when, you know, for the last 32 years, I think, I've basically gone to every game. I was just happy to be there. Cool that it's a nice day out. Banter from Arsenal fans, but yeah, I mean, I wasn't expecting. I don't really know what I was expecting, to be honest. I was honestly just happy to go. So I thought it was all right. I thought it didn't really feel like a. I don't know if it felt like a really competitive Premier League game as it would if we had the ground full and everyone was going crazy. But I think maybe that's because it's the end of the season, we're safe. Today's about Roy more than anything else, you know. I don't know if that sort of took the edge off it a little bit.
Yeah, potentially. You got a man of the match. I mean, I thought Chiari had a really good game, and I thought Benteke was really, really good as well.
They beat my two. Benteke was just a real handful. He was back to the Velcro chest Benteke, where he just everything sort of stuck to him. And I thought checking midfield,
And I think you got to give an honourable mention to Andros as well. He was tirelessly running, got really caused a lot of problems down the right in the second half. And it's interesting that Townsend's re-emergence of form has come where his job is to put your head down, run down the flank and clip across into Benteke. It's very simple for him, very simple instruction and kind of makes you think, you know, how well he defends, how he's had that drilled into him. He seems to take instructions on board really well. So it's quite simple. You think it's like Sulaco back in the day. It's like, get down the flank, cross the ball for Mark Bright in the middle, or cross the ball for Chris Armstrong. That's just basically how it is. And he seems to be taking to it really, really well. So, I imagine any new manager coming in is going to want to offer him a new contract, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think, I mean, he's not the most skillful player. He wouldn't be first name on the team sheet for me or anything like that. But I think to have someone like him in the squad, where if you want to rest a player or you need someone who can just run a lot for the last 20 minutes, something like that, I think he's a useful player to have in the squad. He's reliable. You know, I think you can count on him to be professional. And I don't mean that in a sort of detrimental way.
Yeah.
I think he's probably a great player to coach, because like you say, he takes stuff on. I feel like he just gets on with things. He seems like a pretty intelligent bloke. So I'd imagine, I'd be surprised if he didn't get a contract, to be honest.
Okay. I mean, we can just, we'll very briefly, again, billing this as the preview pod is an absolute shambles, to be honest. But, let's briefly touch on Liverpool. It's funny how things work out in football, that Roy Hodgson would be calling a day this season, and he's probably, deep down, he's probably known that from very early on in the season, maybe even at the start of the season, it's going to be his last season, but ends up where arguably he had his worst time as a club football manager all of the 5 months he spent at Anfield.
Yeah, I did like in his press conference that someone mentioned about how are we going to a former club. And he said, I suppose technically they are a former club, but I was only there for sort of 5 minutes. Mm. And I mean, Liverpool fans are absolutely not fond of him in the way that a lot of the clubs he managed are. But yeah, I mean, decent place to bow out, isn't it? Anfield, I suppose.
Mm. I mean, it would be fun. Obviously, Roy is just not that sort of person where he's going to be like, oh, I'd love to go out with a win against, you know, those guys, and particularly because it's such a huge game for them in terms of, you know, the finances that the Champions League brings. And, you know, it's kind of after they've won the Champions League and then won their first ever Premier League, to go to be on such a dizzying heights and then for it all just in the space of a year to just go horribly wrong in terms of not even qualifying for the Champions League would, you know, be a big struggle for them. And you do get signs of discontent between, you know, Mane in recent weeks has seemingly been a bit of a nuisance and stuff like that. So you can really, like, you can see the cracks starting to appear. And if they don't qualify for the Champions League, it could end up with a complete breaking up of that squad. And you never know what would happen. And yeah, like I say, we'd like to all think that Roy would think that, but as fans, like as a football fan, I'd love it if he went there and beat them, as Keegan once said. it would be a good fight. And we've shown we can do it in the past. We even gave him a game there, not last season, the season before, the last one with fans, only lost 4-3 there in the season they won the championship, because, you know, teams are going there and getting flattened. Yeah. And we went in there and actually gave them a game. And to be honest, if it, we had a goalkeeper, we had an injury, didn't we? So Jules had to play that game, and it was his first game for Yonks. And it was very clear that he'd lost, I don't know how you lose a yard as a goalkeeper, but he'd certainly lost something, bless him. And made a couple of errors, didn't he, for goals. So very, very bizarre game.
That game even had the lesser spotted Max Meyer goal.
Oh. I actually missed it as well. I'd left by then because I had a very tight train after it to get back, because I think it was a Sunday evening game, and we were like 4-2 down, and there was a couple of minutes left. I was like, no, I'm just going to get out of here and get back to the train station. And I'm walking past that big new main stand, and it's like there's quite a lot of glass on it, and you can see it. And I was looking on the TV, and I was like, looks like Max Meyer's running away, sort of half celebrating. I must be seeing that wrong. So we get the phone out. Oh no, it is Max Meyer. Max Meyer celebrating.
You just reminded me, I saw a tweet on Wednesday which said, I've waited 14 months to watch Palace and I was in the bogs when we scored.
Oh no. Yeah, that's sad. But yeah, so I mean, can we go there and give him a game? Roy has already mentioned this week how things aren't running as normal at the training ground, because everyone's doing presentations to him. Even the players are like doing things for him. And, you know, it's going to be a week of, you know, or at least a few days of things being a bit of a party atmosphere in the background. But could that help us in that sense of just, you know, the pressure's completely off. It's Liverpool, ones under all the pressure. We can just go out there and enjoy it.
Maybe. I mean, I wonder what happens if we try to go out and enjoy it. I don't know. I think it's going to be a very difficult game. Like you say, Liverpool have got something to play for as well. So it's not like they're just going to sort of piss about on a Sunday afternoon and sort of hope for the best. So, I mean, it's one of those games. I'm just assuming we're going to lose fairly comfortably. I hope we don't get battered. And I hope that Arsenal turn up against Brighton. I mean, that's all I'm hoping for on Sunday, to be honest.
Yeah, it wouldn't be nice to have them finish above as well. It'd be only the second time in 40 years, I'd imagine. I guess the last time they finished above us, the only time they finished above us in the last 40 years was the season we beat them in the playoffs.
It was indeed.
So it doesn't really count, does it?
No. And to be fair, even if they do finish above us this year, they didn't beat us, did they? So
No, it was 1-1 at home, wasn't it?
It was 1-1 at home.
Last minute goal, yes.
What bragging rights can they really have?
Indeed. Right, so the only other things that I wanted to mention about, we won't do predictions. I don't want to hear your misery predictions. So the commiserations to the under-18s, who missed out on the title on the goal difference, bringing head-to-head. Imagine we beat Fulham twice this season and lose to them on goal difference. Crazy that we just had that mental slip against Norwich and against Spurs. It's so bizarre that we got absolutely hammered by Spurs in one of the games and then threw away a 2-0 lead against Norwich. I think it was insane.
It's still a massive achievement, because I think Fulham, they won the league last year as well. So they're obviously a really strong academy. And for us to come in year one of being a category one and run them so close, I mean, losing on goal difference is pretty rough, isn't it? So really, really great season for them.
Yeah, brilliant. And the under-23s have also pinned some results together at the back of the season, which has culminated them getting a playoff spot. And they're now subsequently in the playoff final after beating Wolves in the semi at Selhurst. Brilliant night down there on Monday. Really, really good. I'd probably say there was pushing 1,000 people there that night. Really good atmosphere. Really good performance as well, you know, going 2-0 up. And then they scored two pretty good goals to get back to 2-2. But then the extra time winner by David Omolabu, you just can't hold him down. I mean, he came on. He looks, size-wise, he just looks like a kid compared to everyone on the pitch. So I do think calls for him to get in the first team might be a little bit premature. He's got a little bit more growing to do. But then you say that and he's just... If you're in the right position and the defender can't track you, they can't use their strength on you. And that's basically what happened. And he scored after a lot. Was it, who did he play the 1-2 with? Was it Street? And scores. He's caught, I think, second for them and 23rd overall for the season.
Something like that.
Fantastic.
He would know, but all they talk about in commentary is about he knows every stat that you could know about himself. So.
Excellent. Great post-match interview with him as well.
He's got the company line down pat, and he ended his interview with "Be loud, be proud, be pious."
And you even heard Chris and chuckling in the background in shock, just being like, and everyone saying, "You must have told him to say that." But alas, no, apparently came up with himself. So that puts the under-23s in the final. And because Palace were the highest remaining seeds, the final was held at Selhurst Park. So that'll be this coming Monday, where 1,700 tickets have already been sold. Unless you won't be there, Heskiff, because it's your missus' birthday. So
it is. I'm not sure I can miss my wife's birthday for the reserves Division 2 playoff final. I'd get away with that, to be honest.
Yeah, well, so I'm going to be down there. It's quite a lot of us going, actually, or basically all the lot I go with on a regular basis are going to be down there to watch it. So really excited for that one. Last trip to Selhurst before the summer of all summers. I mean, I can't remember a summer where we've in the last decade, we had a summer more important than this.
Probably.
I mean 10-11 summer going into 10-11 when it was making sure we kept Spironi, making sure we kept Ambrose and that sort of stuff. Short set, I guess you could argue there's been the summer when Pulis left us right in the lurch at the end of it. Or just, you know, before it, but that was, you know, that was right at the end of the summer, that, you know, getting into the season already. But yes, I think it's a defining summer. The appointment's got to be right. It's got to be quick. We can't do what we've done in the past, like with De Boer or with Pulis as it was at the time, you know, taking a very long time to employ someone. We've been doing the interviews, seven interviews happened during the last international break. I think the clear favourites of those are starting to filter through now in the press. You're starting to get your Dyches, your Coopers, your Ishmaels and your Djukanovic's. I think those are the ones who are basically at the top. Lampard was never in with a shout, as I would tell anyone who wanted to listen on Twitter, but no one wanted to listen and just tell me I was wrong. But
Lampard getting his, you can't fire me, I quit.
Well, I mean, and that was, you know, I get told a lot of stuff about what's going on behind the scenes at Palace. And it, to be honest, it's quite tedious at times. I don't like it. Like, it spoils the fun a bit. Like, you don't find out, you find out stuff before it's happening. You also find out a lot of stuff that gets you excited and then doesn't end up panning out. Yeah. And those are even worse. But the reason why I was, and I keep quiet on most of these things, and the reason why I was a bit more, you know, vocal about Lampard is because I just knew what was going to happen. I knew he was going to be like this, and it was going to be billed by his agent that he's pulled out of the race, where in reality he just had a nightmare of an interview. So that was that for Lampard. So yeah, I think there's a good chance there's going to be one of those four. I know Nuno Espirito Santos has come out of a job today at Wolves, but I mean, if he doesn't end up at Spurs, I'd be very, very surprised. Yeah. I mean, I obviously have no inside knowledge about what's going on at Spurs or Wolves, but it just seems like it's got Spurs written all over it, right? It's got to be.
Yeah, that, as soon as I read that he was leaving Wolves, that was my first thought. Makes sense. You know, I reckon that's nailed on.
Yeah, I know Wolves had a bit of a tougher year this year, but what a job he's done now. I mean, I know they've had ridiculous investment and they were given, you know, the team that got them out of the championship was a joke of a team. Yeah. They're basically half the Portuguese 11 in there. So, yeah, so maybe you know, give him a bit more of a budget you're going to get. I don't know. It's so hard to know. You know, that you think... We've been linked with Cooper, so I've gone around looking around at Swansea and see what's going on. You can find many Swansea fans who are very not happy with him. So yeah. You can't find a Barnsley fan who is unhappy with Ishmael, that's for sure.
I think probably the same is probably true of Dyche and Burnley, where even if he has some shortcomings, I think Burnley fans are like, look, he'll do a good job.
I mean, Dyche is going to, unless he wants to come in and try something a bit different at a different club and, you know, feel like a different sort of player set and maybe a different bit of a bit more money to spend, maybe he'll try and do something different. Who knows? But, like, I mean, at the moment, I think it's going to be one of those four aforementioned. Unless something, you know, someone loses their job over the next couple of weeks that is just too good to turn down. But, yeah. Don't be surprised if it's one of those four. And I can't tell. I honestly couldn't tell you if I knew because I don't think the club know yet. So even if I knew, listeners, I wouldn't be able to tell you who it was because they don't know. So we'll just have to wait and see. I might start turning blocking my sources so I don't have to hear. Anything else that you want to add before we close off for the season? Just for the season, though, not for the off-season Amazon Prime review shows of the documentary we'll be doing. Remember to look out for those. But anything before we head off?
Yeah, I think I've done this the last two seasons, so I don't want to forget to do it or not do it. Lewis Dunk is...
Goes without saying.
There you go. That's how I like to sign off.
Sign off from the season. I mean, thanks to everyone for listening, putting up with us through the year. We really, really appreciate you taking the time out of your week to listen to us. We hope we've brought you some laughs down the season. No plans for us not to be back next season. We sign on by year-on-year basis, I guess. We're all out of contract, I imagine. But
can't really talk for Albert because he's never here in the first place. But, yeah, you and I are definitely back.
Well, Albert's like the Connor Wickham of the squad, always out injured. And, we're more like Waldy and James McArthur, although saying that he's been... So we'll be back next season. Unfortunately, we wanted to bring you, we were in talks with Clinton Morrison and Darren Ambrose to get them on the show for today, but it was all in a sponsorship deal who won't get mentioned now because they didn't come through, did they?
Well, Darren Ambrose said that he was very keen until he found out it was the rice pudding table. So they ended it on. And he took our calls.
Well, if I knew that the guy was going to let us down for Ambrose, I would have just tapped him up at the dinner on Wednesday and said, like, has he? But I also don't like doing that. Like, I should have really tapped him up for future, but I didn't, because I just, you know, he's just there having a night, you know what I mean? I don't really want to be like, you can't go anywhere, come on my podcast, I will not accept no for an answer kind of scenario. But yeah, but anyway, look, I'm rambling on. Thanks everyone, we'll be back next season, but please, in the off season, as from June 4th, listen out for our review pods of the Amazon Prime documentary. We're going to try something a little bit different with that and have a laugh with it, hopefully. So for one more time this season, until next season, up the Palace.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates are around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.